Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 6, verses 39 through 44. Christ's work to counter the threat of burnout by organizing well. We learned in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright service from personal failure. Sometimes such failure arises from what various Christian organizations call burnout, human exhaustion and emotional collapse from being stretched too thin with too few resources in a variety of realms of life. We noted in our last lesson how Jesus encountered this burnout in Mark 6:30 to 44, but his focus in Mark 6:39 to 44 on using organization and feeding the crowd of people is itself worth a study. For disorder in life is a key issue causing burnout, and it can be solved simply by better ordering our lives, so we study this passage. As a pastor of over 30 years, I have noticed in lots of interactions that I've had with people, especially in the counseling situations, that the lack of being able to order one's life, sometimes it's with finances, sometimes it's with emotions, sometimes relationships with people, but the lack of order has created the bulk of the problems. So there's a need just to manage well, just basic management. So I wanted to get a sermon like this onto our website at least and get it for us because I think it's valuable. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 6, verse 39 through 44. And Jesus commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 adult men. That's not counting women and children. Okay, when Jesus prepared to feed the 5,000 in Mark 6:37 to 38 with 6:44, the 5,000 number included adult men. The Greek word there is andres. You get this in Spanish, andres, for a male, adult male. So the crowd possibly consisted up to about 20,000 people. There were a lot of people out here. It's kind of like if you went to a baseball stadium on an average day and there were 20,000 people there. It might be somewhat of a slight crowd, but let's say if you go up to Fenway and so forth, that's a lot of people. And that's how many people apparently were there. In addition, and I did not know this until I studied this message, in addition, Jewish custom held that women and children were to eat separate from the men. A complication in this case is parting the 5,000 men from their approximate 15,000 women and children could have resulted in a number of children or women getting disconnected from their respective fathers and husbands, breaking up families and leading to chaos and the possible misplacement of vulnerable children. So if you had all of the 5,000 men in just one location and all of the 15,000 women and children in another location, it's like breaking up the stadium of all the fathers over in one seating section and all the rest of their families in somewhere else. It's easy to get lost. And it's easier for children to get lost. And there could be lots of problems. And the Lord Jesus, of course, knew this. So that threat to the family unit not only counters the plan of God for orderly family life in Ephesians 5:22 to 6:4, but cultural disorder and disorderliness in general in ministry opens a door for demonic problems. That may be new to some people, but that's an interesting statement that I'm making, but it's an important one. Let me just briefly look at that. James chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, speaking of the wisdom that is not from the Lord, but where there's bitter envy and so forth. Notice what he says in verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now, in the King James, it says devilish, but if you check your New International Version, it's demonic. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion or disorder and every evil work. So, sensuality, disorder, envy, selfish ambition, these are all things that go along with demonic activity. And I've noticed, especially in counseling situations where there's a high level of disorder, often the evil one has been able to get his foot in the door and create tremendous disruption, sometimes in marriages, sometimes in families, extended families. So order is something that is very, very something to keep in mind. It's interesting, I think it's 1 Corinthians 14. Let everything be done decently and in order. For God is a God of order. So, we then look at see how Christ directed that the disciples produce an ordered arrangement in seating the people to address each of these concerns in Mark 6, 39 and 40. First of all, Jesus had the disciples seat the crowd on the green grass, and that would have been a comfortable seating in springtime. The technical word here is for green grass, and the grass was green only for a few weeks out of the year. It would be in the spring of the year. So I remember Dr. Dwight Pentecost, our pastor, when Nadine and I were in Dallas, we went to Grace Bible Church. He was pastor of the church at the time. He indicated that this was probably a crowd of people who were headed towards Jerusalem for the Passover. Okay, the men had to go there for Passover three times a year. So this is the Passover crowds. It was that time of the year. Now, when the grass dries up, it gets hard and brittly. You don't want to sit on it. You know, they don't mow the grass nicely, but in the springtime, the grass comes up. You want to sit on it. It's very cushy. There's a long grass. You know, we're talking about like out in the meadow that we would have here. And they didn't have ticks to worry about, I mean, like with diseases that we have. So it'd be very comfortable. So it was a good place to have the people sit down. Then to facilitate Jewish cultural order, Jesus had the disciples seat the people. The Greek word is symposia, symposia, or table company by table company. That would mean parting the men from the women and the children. Now, however, since there were about a third fewer adult family men than there were women and children, seating the people in equal numbers of groups would have strained the family units too far. So the disciples sat the people down in the Greek word is prosiai, prosiai, or garden plot by garden plot. Now that's interesting. Garden plots vary in sizes. You'll have maybe a certain size of radishes, and your radish plot will be a lot smaller than your corn plot, and so forth. Excuse me. So what they did, they seated them in groups of hundreds and fifties. In other words, there were likely groups of men in fifties, flanked on either side by larger groups of women and children in groups of hundreds to facilitate family order while also respecting the Jewish custom of having the men eat separately from the women and the children. So you would have this patchwork. You'd have a group of, you know, 50 men in a group like this, and then you have a group of 100 women and children over here, 100 women and children over here, and so you'd have these groups of 50 men would be interspersed in between these groups of 150 or 100 women and children. Now, what that would do would also leave for the disciples with the seating. There would have been approximately 50 groups for each of Jesus' 12 disciples to address. And that's a workable arrangement toward each disciple seeing one party per group receive food from that disciple to pass around to the rest of the people in his or her respective group. It would have probably, with Jesus breaking the food and giving it to them, if they went out and there were all these groups, I would imagine it wouldn't take probably more than 15 or 20 minutes for them to get the food particles out to each, or at least one person in each group. And then those persons would pass it around to the others until everybody else in the group had food. So this is a very good way to get things out. They broke it into family groups, I mean into these groups of 50s and then 100s and so forth. Now with these people seated in these groupings, there would have been approximately 50 groups for each, and the disciples could have passed this around. So, in complete order, Jesus then took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he gave a customary Jewish blessing. In fact, Dr. Edersheim in his book, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, says they had a certain prayer for breakfast, they had a certain prayer for lunch, they had a certain prayer for evening meal. All these prayers differed. So he probably gave probably the evening meal because it was late at that time. So he gave the evening meal blessing. And it was a specific little phrase that you would hold your hands up like this to God. You look up. This is the way you prayed. You prayed with your eyes open. You looked up to the heavens. And Jesus gave the prayer request of the Father. Then he took the five loaves, broke them, gave it to the disciples. They turned and started giving it to people. And in between Jesus getting the bread and the fish to the disciples to the people passing it out, this multiplication occurred. It probably occurred at every step in ways that were instantaneous like that. All of a sudden a person had a bunch of fish. Here, I got some more, and you hand it out. There's still some more here. So it was interesting. Everybody was a witness to this miracle. That would have been exciting. And what's amazing is that they all ate and were filled, even the teenagers. I love that. Because sometimes they're the ones that have the hollow legs, you know, and they just eat and eat. I remember when we were teenagers, we would, just before supper, we would make ourselves a Dagwood sandwich like that, okay? And we'd eat it, and then we'd sit down and we'd go right through the supper like nothing. We were never eaten anything. My mother could hardly believe it. She was all ready to bawl us out because we weren't going to eat our supper, but we ate our supper too. But when you're growing, you have a hollow leg. But all the teenagers ate, and they were all filled. Now, this is interesting. Once the miracle had produced enough food for the people to eat to the full, there were extra pieces of bread and fishes remaining uneaten. And we're not told this in Mark's gospel, but in John chapter 6, verse 12, the only passage that tells us this, it says that when they were filled, Jesus said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Now you would think he's gone through the business of breaking the bread, breaking the loaves, and there's all this extra food, and great, you know, we don't have to eat it all, there's extra left over. But Jesus says, no, there's a purpose in what's left over. I don't want you to lose it. And this shows us that our Lord was frugal, and he wants us to be frugal. If there's something that's left over, you save it. You don't throw it away. There's a mentality that I have observed in everybody who's been through the Great Depression. They save everything. I knew a man who saved Jeeps, and he had his yard full of Jeeps. He'd been through the Great Depression. They would never think, if there was a screw, you take something apart and you want to throw it away, you save all the screws. There's a place for every screw. You know. And I know the dean's father, he's gave me a bunch of screws left over from his business, and they've got to be, some of them back to the 20s and 30s when they were made. They're so, I've never seen anything like them. But he never lost a thing, held on to it. And Jesus was that way as well. And it reports that Jesus told the disciples in frugality to gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. So the disciples gathered up 12 basketfuls of leftovers for use at a later meal. What's interesting is that each disciple had a basket. So he could take it with him. Now, as part of his ministry of directing his disciples to avoid burnout in serving God, Jesus had them organize the huge crowd God wanted them to feed with regard both to Jewish culture and family unity. He gave the usual customary blessing and had the disciples save the leftovers in frugal care of God's miraculous provision. Notice the order. Jesus didn't skip a beat here. So to help avoid burnout in living for and serving the Lord, may we organize ourselves with regard to the demands that culture, family, church, business, and government realms place upon us, and then function in an orderly and frugal manner in each realm. Now, this may involve creating schedules for time use and a budget for money use, being careful to be both reasonably flexible, that is assigning groups of 50s and 100s a member, and frugal, the baskets of leftovers, to meet the many demands from many realms that are placed upon us. When I was in seminary, my last year of seminary, and after being in college for 9 years, this is my 10th year of, you know, higher education, I decided, you know, I've spent so many years cramming for tests. I'm going to try something else. And I had learned this. I had heard about this. When you make notes in a class, as you start the semester, at the end of the class, after the bell's rung, you still have 5 minutes to get to the next class, read through those notes just once. And then when you go home later that night, You read through all the notes that you've made in that semester, in that class, just once. And that's, put it away, and then you go play ping pong at the student center. It's no big problem. All right. Then the next day, you do that, but you read, at that night, you read the notes cumulatively. And if you do that, you know your material so well, you never have to study for a midterm or a final, because you've been reading the notes all along, and the memory has gotten in there. And I did that, and it was probably my easiest semester. And I kicked myself. I wish I had started to do this in my first year of college. Life would have been so much easier. I wouldn't have had to stay up late trying to cram for tests. Just organization, just organizing my time as a college student was very, very important. So I really see there's a need for this. I was talking with a man in our service, after our service today in the fellowship hall, about how he knows a young couple. Now that they've gotten married, all of a sudden they realize, oh my, we're going to have to budget because the money is limited. I mean, there are all sorts of bills that come up. So, the couple wasn't interested in budgeting before, but now all of a sudden they see the need, or one of them sees the need. So they're getting into that. Well, Jesus would be very much in favor of budgeting because he was organized and he taught organization to his men. And God wants us to be organized. If we organize our lives, at least start to order them, it will slim down the difficulties that we face in life. It'll make life easier, less complex, eliminate a lot of stress, and it will be pleasing to the Lord.